The sun is out, but there's a cloud in front of it. I can see my shadow, and it feels comforting. Sounds like someone's crying. Oh, it's me. My face is wet with tears. I would be at the beach, but the water's polluted. I would ride my bike, but the tires are flat. I would read a book, but my eyes don't work. June gloom is upon us. June gloom is here. I would say music, but in June gloom, it does not exist. Music, silence.
The New World Pictures podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Oh, I've unleashed the shackles of Mark's miserable, marvelous May, and now we're gonna have some fun.
And Erica,
I returned that gift that you gave me at my wedding. I don't need it any longer. Is that weird? Or is it cool? I don't know. I guess you'll find out.
Erica, you may need to see, I think you need to see a doctor.
I don't.
Only,
I'm fine.
Only someone who is sick takes back silver.
Wow. Just pawns it.
That's right.
Doesn't even pawn it. Just leaves it. Just
yeah,
says, okay,
I don't think she even
go.
Got any money for it.
No. He was like, hey, let me pay you. And she was like, just whatever. But, of course, if we're talking about stuff that sad, you know where we are. We're talking the beginnings of June Gloom 2, Another Sad Summer. As Mark said, we were just finishing with some superhero stuff, having a great time, but now it's time to get serious. What? Let's get seriously sad, and that's why we're going to talk about 1980s Richard's Things.
Sleep or what?
He's in a shallow coma. It's only to be expected in the circumstances.
How long is it likely to last at this stage?
Virtually impossible to say, I'm afraid. It's your husband's things.
Yes, of course.
It's your husband's things. Husband's things. Husband's things. 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 Things.
No trailers, so I just said make something.
You know, they don't make trailers. They don't make trailers like they used to.
They sure don't.
Man, wow. There was a real art to it.
Yeah, there really was.
My God,
1980s. Amazing. Richard's Things, brought to you by Rowan's Industrial Nose Tape. Tired of your oxygen tube slipping out of your nostril? Well, fear no more with Rowan's Industrial Nose Tape. Guaranteed to keep your breathing tube right where it's supposed to be, in your nostril, inches from your brain. Rowan's. It's strong. This movie was directed by Anthony Harvey. He was an editor turned director. and had was nominated for Best Director Oscar for 1968's Lions in Winter, and he'd also directed the Sherlock Holmes comedy They Might Be Giants, and had just shot Eagle's Wing with Martin Sheen and Harvey Keitel. I think Sam Waterston, and which had just been sold for U.S. distribution, but had not been released by the time this comes out. In fact, it led Harvey to admit to the record that he was trying to get New World Pictures to distribute Eagle's Wing after they picked up Richard's Things.
Oh, I've heard of
double.
Them.
What a double I've that would be. I've heard of them. What a double that would have been.
Yeah. I've heard of New World.
This was written by Frederick Raphael, based on his own novel, which he apparently wrote around the same time. So he wrote the novel and he was like, I'm just going to go ahead and write the script. But I guess he was
like, he's like, I've got the time. I'll just write them both. I'll just knock them out.
Well, it's in me. Well, it's in me. I'll just go ahead and turn this into a movie. But he had adapted a bunch of movies before. In fact, he wrote the adaptation of Daisy Miller for director Peter Bogdanovich, and wrote Eyes Wide Shut for Stanley Kubrick. So, long career there. This stars, I never know how to say her name. This stars Liv Ullmann, who had just made Autumn Sonata with director Ingmar Bergman, which just may be a movie that closes out this month. So maybe on this podcast, Ullmann had just worked with Harvey on a movie called The Abdication. And of course she had been in Cries and Whispers. So she was of the attention of Raphael. Whispers and Cries. And though initially writer Raphael said he had reached out to Katharine Hepburn to play Ullmann's role, but says she declined because she knew she was too old for the part. This also stars theater actor Amanda Richman, who had trained at the Old Vic, where she was given the lead in the national tour of the Rocky Horror Picture Show before being cast in this movie. She makes her debut here, and this is what Harvey said about casting her. He said, quote, it's difficult to find good young actresses, much more difficult than finding good actors. We were
for some reason I feel offended by that.
Hey, it's got to get better. Let's just move on.
Do you think he still stands by that statement today?
I don't know if he's if he would or if he's alive. We'll just move on. We were searching for someone to play the part when this beautiful young girl came in to read for it. Afterward, she just didn't leave my mind. She had these marvelous eyes and the uninhibited quality I was looking for.
Not creepy. Not at all.
Yeah.
Definitely looking for talent. Just
pure talent. Here's where you can watch Richard's Things at the time of this recording. It is on Shout TV and Tubi.
Tubi.
There is no, I think there is like a foreign DVD, but in terms of physical media, this is not around. But does Vinegar Syndrome pick it up next year? I don't know. We will see.
Guaranteed. It's a guarantee. That's a lock.
Right.
Man. What's the bloopers reel on Richard's Things? Woo! It's gotta be fucking hilarious.
Now it's time to talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what's Richard's Things all about?
You know, a lot can happen in life. Things can take a turn. They can happen.
I thought rapidly. You were going to end there. A lot can happen in life. That's what it's about.
And I mean, it is. You're not wrong. But I want to just scratch the surface. Just go a little deeper on that. No matter. We all get in relationships, and some of them work out, and some of them don't. And if you get married and you get a divorce, or maybe your spouse dies, you know, you're going to be faced with a lot of changes in your life. But the one consistent thing that will ring true is that your exes, your former in-laws, are going to be total dicks to you no matter what.
Yeah. Still fucking with you, you know? Still fucking with you.
They will still... Every time you see him, they're going to be like, oh, I fucking hate you. I hate you so hard.
I really would like you to live this way, if you don't mind. It would make me feel better. Erica, yeah. what yeah. is this movie about?
For me, my big takeaway was if something happens to me, if I'm in the hospital, if I'm in a coma, leave me naked. Leave me naked. Don't bother. Don't ask if I don't want clothes on. I don't. Let them work on me nude. Let it all hang out until I am revived and or hauled down to the mortuary. You know, just leave me be. Mm-hmm. I came into mm-hmm. this world nude. I might ride out of it nude, God willing. So just, you know what? If you're like, should we get her some clothes? Answer, no.
The plane is on descent. It's crashing. The engines are out. Erica starts taking her clothes off. What are you doing? Hell like, yeah, is dog. I want to go out?
I'm not going down with a bra on. Are you kidding me? Hell no. Hell no. I'm going out titties flapping in the wind, okay? Pretty sure that's going to be everybody's takeaway from Richard's
sure.
thing.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty
I'm probably
much
just
it.
Stating the obvious that's pretty, here. Pretty much probably it. Stating the obvious.
Just note to self, never be on a flight with Erica.
Yeah, okay. Just
got it. I got
avoid,
it.
Yeah. Avoid that.
I mean, yeah.
For me, I thought this movie was about the fact that we forget that some of the most passionate and heated love affairs are often debated while seated at a table. You know, I think truly our best. Mm-hmm. I remember a story of Romeo and Juliet where instead of her being aloft, she just came down and they sat outside a cafe or in a cafe mm-hmm. or in their apartment and just chatted for a good long yeah. while, you yeah. know, because that's where the love happens. Yeah.
Also, nothing's hotter than a hug. I mean, damn.
Real sexy oh, hug.
Sexy, just a sexy hug.
A sexy
ooh.
Hug.
Oh. Just an over-the-clothes embrace? Wowie. Ooh.
If you agree
Wowie.
With me, then you'll also understand that this movie is a hard R for hugs.
When that hug happens, you're like, whoa, 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 I wasn't ready.
Whoa,
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 whoa. Kids, get out
Are
of the
there
room.
Kids in the room?
Get out of the room, kids. Yeah. We can't. Yeah. This is a hug has happening. Get out of here.
Oh, that's a tight hug. It's lasting longer than 3 seconds. This is a serious embrace.
Serious hug. Oh,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, yeah. Let's go to the Letterboxd synopsis. We are on Letterboxd, so give us a follow there if you would like. Letterboxd says, following her husband's death, a wife discovers and confronts her husband's lover. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Correct.
Their mutual pain, love, envy, and jealousy bring them together in an unexpected emotional and physical relationship.
Spoiler.
I.e. the yeah. hug. That's hugs. The physical. That's mm-hmm. the physical
yeah.
part of it.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, I just want to read a quote from Harvey again, the director, because, you know, he has this quote about the first 10 minutes of the movie, and I want to just read it, and then I'm going to quickly go through what
we're
happens.
We're breaking it down in by minutes
oh,
now?
Oh, we're breaking it down. Here's what he says about the first 10 minutes.
Oh, shit. Okay, Harvey, I'm 10 minutes in. I still have hope, so go on.
Here Let's we go. Proceed. Here's what he said. You have to involve the audience in the film right away. Establish a rhythm.
That's for all films, pretty important.
pretty important.
You mean, wait, hold on. So that 5-minute cold open of her staring at a tree being blown up. That's
hold on.
That's supposed to.
Let's get there. Let's get there. You
I know we are not at final questions, but what was that?
I don't just, know.
They're just, you know, doing some road work, and that includes blowing up trees. Come on, guys.
Oh, my Jeez. God.
You establish yeah. a rhythm. If you don't get them in the first 10 minutes, you've lost them forever. Okay, that
oh,
said.
That's correct.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. He's talking to me personally on that.
Here's the first 10 minutes. Liv Ullmann as Kate, she drives around, and there's some people working on the road. They blow up a tree, and she looks at it, and then credits roll. Okay, that's
yeah.
that's that.
I was in. I yeah. was already.
Then she goes,
I was like, okay, tell me more.
She goes into a hospital. It's the wrong one. She gets directions. Mm-hmm. She goes to a new hospital. Mm-hmm. Her husband is there. She looks at his car. She's like, hooray. Her husband,
wait,
Richard.
Wait. She goes to the other hospital and gets more directions because she's in the wrong wing of the hospital. So we've had two sets of directions.
You got to get a rhythm. You got to get a rhythm going. Richard is
Looking
there.
Looking back on it now, that said a lot about her. People
yeah.
would tell her stuff, and she was like, got it. And then she was immediately just driving the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, just like, uh-huh, yep, no, I got it. Are you listening, Kate? Mm-hmm, yeah. All right, got it. Cool. Where are you going? I don't know.
I have no idea. No idea. Don't know what I'm doing.
You know what? That's why she got cheated on. I just figured it out.
Richard, there.
Terrible with directions.
Richard, he has his things there. The title paid off, so that's good. We know who Richard is. We know his things. We don't know how his things got at the hospital, nor do we know what happened to Richard. But then Kate checks into a hotel.
Nor do we know what happened to his clothes. Did he drive there nude, or did they strip him at the hospital? I know we're not on final questions, but I would love to know.
So would I. I have no answers. I have no idea. Kate checks into a hotel. She tries to smoke for a second time, but she's interrupted yet again, and she can't. She just wants a cigarette.
One's woman quest to just finish one cigarette.
Just to start a cigarette.
It's two women's quest to start a cigarette. There's a lot of lighting of cigarettes, but never actually.
There's no finishing. There's no finishing. It's just getting them lit. That's what matters. That's what
this
looks
movie
cool.
Made me want to smoke just on their behalf. Just be like, damn it, click. Oh, damn. Okay, there we
cigarettes.
Go. There we go.
She starts to look at Richard's things, starting with a book. It's Underground with the Oriole, which is a book of poetry, probably not baseball related, but I'm not sure. Back to the, I don't know. It was the writer from Baltimore. Who knows?
I don't
knows?
Know. He didn't get to third base with JoJo, so.
I think she got a full home run.
You think he stopped at third? And was like, no. I can't go any further. That would make me dirty.
Yeah, I tell you, that's. I thought you were talking about the hug. I thought you were talking about the. Is the hug first base?
Is a hug
is that
third
just like,
base?
Is that like.
No. I think.
Is
I
that
think
a walk?
Cutting is first.
What is that? Okay, and, okay. There you go.
And a hug
is that
is
a
third.
Walk?
It's a walk.
That's not in first baseball terminology. Anyway, back to the hospital. Richard wakes up briefly and he says, shit. That's 10 minutes, guys. What do you think? Did he get you? Mm-hmm. Did he get you in those first 10 minutes?
Honestly, yes. He had me. And I am that demographic that if you lose me in the first 10, I'm gone. I'm out. So he had me. Because I love that he woke up and was like, shit. Because I was like, ooh, what? Is he pissed? Like, I didn't know if he was like, shit, my wife is here. That was what I thought at first. He was like, oh, shit, it's my wife.
Oh, sure.
So I to be honest with you, was hooked.
Well, he woke up. Let's be clear. He woke up. His clothes were off. His wife was there. He was like, shit. You know, it's like not the scenario I was hoping for in this lack of clothing. But
plus, Liv Ullmann has the quintessential resting sad face.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is coming. I'm not trying to throw shade. As someone who has resting pissed face, I appreciate and was totally locked in at her from scene one. I'm like, boy, this is a depressed individual.
Mm-hmm.
And she holds tight to that look for the first 44 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Does she let go of it? I don't know. I guess we'll get there.
She has that thing, too, where she always looks like she's fighting back a cry.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know what that's like because I'm a robot who doesn't cry. But I've seen other humans when they're about to cry. She gets like that like lip tremble that like.
Yeah.
They both did those pouty lips. There's a scene where like the two women both like kind of stop talking and just kind of do a little like.
Yeah, that's it.
They like exchange
mouth,
it. They exchange it like like they're about to say something. Yeah. But they say nothing, and they both do it. And I was like, "Come on, this is absurd. Just say it already. Yeah. Just say whatever the hell's
on
your mind."
No, is
that
how people do it?
I guess
you think it's absurd because you have a wife who doesn't cry. Now, next time I'm upset, I'm just gonna be like Ryan.
She can't even talk.
And then you're going to be like, why are you fully nude? And I'm going to be like, I didn't feel well. I thought I might need the ambulance. I didn't want to ride there fully clothed.
Before the ambulance came, I didn't want to leave that on you. I'm doing you a favor.
I wanted to make it easy for him. Easy access.
Or in Liv's case, you'll just have one titty out. Just one.
Mm-hmm. Just one.
Not the full thing.
I'm cool with that. As long as there's some freedom,
To be fair, after the first 10 minutes, Richard also apologizes, but that's just after the 10-minute mark, and then he dies. So, but hey, look, Richard's things. We know it's Richard and his things. Good job on that one. Kate, though, quickly puts together that Richard was seeing a young woman. We've sort of already mentioned that several times. It was a young woman named Josie that worked for him, she puts together, mostly because he signed the hotel register with a Mr. and Mrs. And she starts to go, what is that? And then Josie left flowers for the funeral. And then that mm-hmm. book of poetry. No way Richard would read poetry. That can't be his. Yeah. That's got to be a young lady friend. He would never.
That's a classic tale of cheaters.
Yeah.
Because I feel like only young dudes and cheaters read poetry. Right. Like, I guarantee if I bust into Ryan's room right now, there's no fucking poetry laying about. You kidding me? No
the
way,
there
dogs.
Is a book.
Want to know why? Yeah. You want to know why? Because Ryan's loyal. Yeah, exactly. Right. Finish it. The minute there's poetry.
Yeah, the minute there's poetry in the room.
with the rare exception of like a Shel Silverstein book. But I mean, that's
poetry we all can get behind.
Yeah,
we
had the sidewalk ends, Mark, please.
We had to memorize that in elementary school, for God's sakes.
Jesus.
Everybody right. did. Not. Right. Not, okay, certain generations did. The rest of you don't even know what we're talking about. Anyway, the rest of you, all the young kids who love to like catch up on 40 to 50-year-old cinema. They're always, I love this podcast. Shit I don't even know about. All right.
No, there's someone our age. It's like, yeah, you're talking about old people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember. I never did that shit. Me too. My dad told me about it.
Maybe he was cheating on my mom.
Oh shit! Was there poetry? Mm-hmm. Watch out.
I just think it's just tons of Canadians that listen to us. That's all I think. You know, it's people in Canada. They love all.
And they're not cheaters. My God, no. They're so loyal.
Look at their own prime
there's
minister.
There's zero poetry in Canada. They banned it.
They knew.
Nobody researched that. Nobody researched that. That's true.
Kate learns where Josie is now working, and in a wild bit of stalking, she tracks her down at the local grocery store where she slips the book back into her basket, her shopping basket. Clip one.
Daddy.
It's yours, I think. I lent it to my husband.
I'm sorry.
Richard. Oh.
The civility. Watching this, and I didn't play how long this could have been. Like, there's the music leading up while she's in line in the store, mm-hmm. and it's really mm-hmm. intense. And it's like, you see that, and then she, like, slips the book into her, and she's just like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm right behind you, and I know who you are. And that kind of stalking and all the music and everything, I was like, I really started to think, are we going to get, like, some twist on Fatal Attraction? You know, kind of like,
sure.
Yeah.
We're getting into thriller territory. And I understand mm-hmm. this is, you know, 1980, really technically, probably shot in 1980, maybe 1979 a little bit, but you know, it's not the 90s, but I cannot help it. It's totally where my mind went for a lot of the movie. I thought, mm-hmm. here we go. She's going to... Nope. They just hugged. It's fine. They didn't do anything. Nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hope that you are filled with in those first 10 minutes. Whew, it was a lot. It carried me through almost the entire movie and never paid off. So...
Well, look, opposites attract, and this is a movie that reinforces that opportunity. So for people that are like, I don't know, I just don't feel like this relationship could work, we're just so different, watch Richard's Things. You might walk away with a different thought.
Hey there, Janet from HR here. So sorry to interrupt. Oh, Ryan, oh. I just wanted to let you know that the bucket hats, the OP Center bucket hats are in. I know you've been waiting. You've been waiting for those. They look beautiful. They're embroidered. You're going to love it. Just if we're going to have a workplace romance, just quick reminder, going to need a love contract. Going to need that signed.
Okay.
Even if your business partner is your best friend, we're still going to need that in paper. All right. We're still going to need that relationship just documented. Okay. All right. Okay. Especially if one of the involved is married and over 40. So going to just need that documented. Anyway, Ryan, get those hats. I know you've been waiting.
Can't wait. I can't wait. Yes.
See you soon, everybody. See you soon.
I would highly recommend not taking those hats to a thrift shop and trying to get rid of them, Ryan. Because Jan from HR,
She will find out. She will find out. It will get ugly. She will buy them back, and then your ass is grass, and then
she's coming to the house, and she's going to let me know that she bought bought them off of the store, and she has them if I want them. So Kate continues to follow her around, Josie, that is, and the two strike up sort of like a friendship. They sort of become friendly with each other. Kate goes over to Josie's place for some hot water, omelets, and conversation, of course, which gets...
Can you see what sold Richard? My God.
Yeah.
Those blue eyes, that lack of, complete lack of ability to even make fucking tea.
And this is where I thought, too, we were going to get into something more dangerous attraction type movie, because Kate is trying to leave repeatedly and Josie's like, no, just stay. Here's coffee. No, I'll make an omelet. No.
Yeah.
Here's some tea.
I was like, is Kate in danger?
I was like, Kate's in danger. Yeah. She's never going to get out of this apartment. No. They just wanted to hang out and chat more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark, also for bringing us back. Cause I said Fatal Attraction, but you brought in Dangerous Attraction, which is more. Yeah. I mean, that's really the reference I should have made for this podcast. But here they are about to talk about their feelings.
I brought that up because I couldn't remember Fatal Attraction when I was saying that, and my brain was like, what is the word that Ryan used? And I was like, I'm like Kate getting directions to a hospital. I'm like, what are the words that Ryan said? I don't
go left, right. Got it.
I liked Dangerous Attraction. It's good to know that where Fatal Attraction was in your memory, Dangerous Attraction, I think it's actually Dangerous Affection, that now lives in your head, you know? Like, that's good. Yeah.
Aww. Dangerous Affection replaced it.
Yeah.
It did. That's adorable.
Good stuff. Go listen to our episode on Dangerous Affection. Anyway, here is them hashing out some feelings here.
Stan hate me. Stan do anything. Or do you have someone else? Someone else? I wanted to kill you. I wanted to kill you so much it saw me through the whole horrible thing, the funeral. I don't know what I'd done without you. I was almost glad you existed. Don't worry. He loved you. After all, I ought to know.
Okay, really quickly, for the listener, if you think, I mean, that's a very intense moment shared between two people who screwed the same guy. If you think that they slowed the pace of that dialogue to really bring in like the emotional impact of the moment, you wouldn't be wrong. But that is the pacing of the dialogue for the entire movie.
Mm.
It is a slow, methodical, a lot of pauses, a lot of breaths, some quivering lips, a hug, some more talking. I mean... I'm not saying that to criticize the movie, because I'll be honest, I was down for the whole thing, but I was down. There's the quote. If you are expecting rapid fire dialogue, this is not the movie for you.
Sorry, for sure. Aaron Sorkin was like minutes from suicide when he watched this. He was like, I can't take it.
If you also thought that that dialogue was spoken by two women who are about to get down, well, you would also be right about that.
Mm-hmm. Get down on a tiny twin bed.
In a tiny twin bed in a very small apartment. And
with bellies full of omelet.
I guess. We don't even know if the omelet ever made it into the whole thing.
Fart smell in that room. Oh my God. Right. I know we're not on final questions, but.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. Kate woke up first because that room just smelled. Like,
yeah, smelled bad. She was opening up the one window.
Smelled horrible.
She was like, let's crack that one window and just get some air in here.
She's like,
she just wanted to make sure JoJo hadn't perished.
JoJo, keep those sheets taut. Mm-hmm. We got trapped in.
It's eggy.
Military
in
tuck eggy. On that bed. Could we? Military tuck?
We've both had hot water and omelets, and then we got it on. Oh, man. The smell in here is just.
It's something else.
It's
something else.
Something else.
Yeah.
My hair is down. That's how bad it was. I couldn't even get my hair back anymore. It just fell out.
Now, if you're thinking, hey, Liv Ullmann. In a love scene, another woman, this ought to be some hot stuff, especially a movie released by New World Pictures. I mean, you're thinking, here's what's going to happen. Well, nothing happens. As we mentioned, just hugs happen. That's what really happens. We don't really see much other than some hot hugs, some passionate, friendly hugs. But here's what happened. Harvey explains it. He says, quote, "The people who put up the money wanted them to tear each other's clothes off. But I didn't want any great big sex scenes. What is suggested, what you don't see, can be rather exciting."
What?
What?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Everybody goes to the strip club to not see anything.
Keep your top on. Keep your bottoms
nope,
on.
Nope. I can imagine it. I'm fine. Here's my money.
I came here to use my imagination.
Oh, my fucking God.
Here's $5 from my imagination to go to work.
Please, I can see everything. I hate it here.
Now, personally, I think he's also covering for Liv Ullmann because the writer, Raphael, said that she was not really interested in doing much more than a hug. So... even after accepting the part. So I think that there may have been some of that that he's covering for. But either way, the point is, we don't see anything, and I don't know if that was more exciting. I will say for my part,
it was not. You read this script, and you're like, all right, I accept. And then they're like, tear each other's clothes off. And you're like, no.
Yes, like, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, there could have been some, I mean, as we get into the research, there might have been some other people that put up, he's saying the people that put up the money wanted them to tear each other's clothes off. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know.
So did all the people that put up their money for the tickets of the movie.
Correct. They were all thinking this is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So three people watching it 40 years later.
Right. The director was the only person that was like, nope, we're not going to do that.
You know everyone what's more titillating? Like, wait a minute. Not seeing anything. Right? Yikes. Right, audience? Do I have you? I got you in the
first
10 minutes.
That's why I go to the movies, to not see anything.
Well, Katie and Josie do carry on for a while, shopping, smoking, and lots of talking, with Josie eventually moving in. alas, though, the storied romance has hit too many speed bumps, and then finally, through yet more conversation, it comes to a close. A close that will see Josie get out of Kate's car and be left somewhere on the side of the road and who knows where. Because that's the 70s, guys. You could do that. You could do that in the 70s.
Also, I'm going to, break our own rules here and be a bit of a spoiler, but, that was my favorite scene. Honestly, just get the fuck out. I'm done. This is over. Get out. I was like, hell yeah. Well, finally, some fucking drama. Just get out of the car. Good luck to you. Figure out Sans cell phone, Sans map. Just fuck it.
Good
get
luck.
Out.
Good
this
luck
over.
Getting home.
Goodbye.
Good luck.
I don't know. Early
favorite. Because it's like fucking TikTok. We got a 3:15 flight to Mexico and we're fucking sitting on the side of the road jibber jabbing.
Mm-hmm.
Either put up or shut up. We got to get moving.
Mm-hmm.
Get out. Get the fuck out. I love it. I love that. I'm not going to lie. That was my favorite scene.
But we're about to spoil the absolute end of the movie. We're going to talk about the very last moment that even Harvey had some misgivings about. In fact, I'm going to read his quote first before we listen to it. So
yeah, definitely don't show us. We get it, Harvey. We get it. Don't fucking show us the quote. We'll read it. We'll just imagine it. Yeah, I'm bitter. Fucking bitter, guys. I'm bitter.
All right, he said, endings always seem to be unsatisfactory. He's talking about movies. I saw the film the other day. Always seem to be unsatisfactory. Yeah, I guess to him. I saw the film the other day and wished I had ended it earlier, before the voiceover, he said. But whenever I see one of my films, I always see something I like to go back and recut. But the movie was not recut. And it does end with this voiceover.
Perhaps I shall see her again one day. She'll call and say, "Guess who?" And I shan't. And then I'll say, "Oh, hello, how are you?" And find that she tells me that I still love her. I'll still hate her, or I'll still feel whatever it is that I feel or don't feel. Perhaps I shall still be alone, living with myself like people do, calling it contentment or independence. Maybe even happiness if asked. My pleasure will come from being what people believe me to be, and from not quite being it. I shall never be suspected of being other than I appear, and I shall appear to be exactly what I am, an older woman.
I can safely say I've never had that kind of internal dialogue. First of all, when I'm talking to myself in my own head, I also never say shall.
But a big mistake on your part.
Maybe now you shall. Maybe now you shall.
Maybe I
don't know.
I think I shan't. Is that the right word?
What do we think? Cut or cut that voiceover? What do we think?
I mean, she doesn't say anything. Maybe she'll call. Maybe she won't. Yeah. Maybe she'll be happy. Maybe she won't. Maybe I'll be alone. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be old. Maybe I won't. I don't know. And she's saying nothing. That's like me saying, do I take this exit? Maybe I'll take the next one. Maybe I should have taken the one two exits ago. Oh, I wonder if I want omelets tonight. Maybe I'll get a hug from someone. I mean, it's just random thoughts, non sequiturs in your head.
To me, that ending monologue told me everything I needed to know about her marriage. That monologue is why Richard cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was always just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm this, maybe I'm that. Here we go. Whatever. She was like a waffler, and she went through this intense experience, and like her takeaway is just like, I'm old. I'll be what people think. I think it was very sad to me. It ended it. The movie to me on a very sad note.
Oh yeah.
Because I felt like it ended with her, like, that's why he wasn't interested in her anymore. She wasn't alive anymore. She's just like, I'm whatever. And I think it's that indifference that drove him to JoJo, because JoJo was just like, live in the moment, go with the flow. Maybe we'll eat, maybe we'll drink, maybe we'll sleep, whatever. I love you. I love everyone. And it was his wife's kind of just like acceptance of the mundane that I think that's what drove him away. So I found it very sad. So I felt like it ended on such a sad note. And if she flew to Mexico after that, even sadder. Like, now you're just flying to Mexico alone? You fucking sad sack? Yikes.
Yeah, just to be whatever people in Mexico thought she should be. I mean, I'm just going to settle, is what she's saying. And I'm just going to settle into being an old woman and just be whatever people think. And that was where I will find happiness. I'm like, yikes.
Yeah, yikes. Yikes.
This is not how Kate got her groove back, for sure.
No, it is not. You think it's going to be, but it isn't.
You actually think it's going to be her killing a young woman with, like, a shard of glass. You know what I mean? You think it's going to be that.
I know.
Oh, we had a moment there. She could have done
but
it.
But maybe that's the thing, too. And look, in the moment watching this, I was definitely frustrated because I kept just thinking about watching it, like, all the things it could have been. And it wasn't until I watched that final monologue that I was like, oh, shit. Like, that's why he left her. Because she has all these impulses and these, like, impulsive things and feelings. And she doesn't do it. She doesn't do any of it.
Right. And I mean, you can imagine that.
And that's what drove him away.
You can imagine that that speech, or a version of that speech, was said to him numerous times. And at the end of the speech, she said, "You know what I mean?" And he was like, "No. What are you talking about?"
He's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go out real quick and grab a book of poetry." If that's cool with you.
Yeah.
Just stay here. So you stay here for sure. You stay right here. I'm going to go out. And if I don't come back right away, it's because I just got into some really cool poetry. And so, but you stay here, okay? Think with those thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Erica, you said that you didn't love certain things and hated certain things. I think it might be time for...
Oh, Ryan, it's time for... Things we loved. Things we loved, Ryan. And things we... Did I hate them? Did I not? Did I hate them all along? Did I ever hate them? I don't know. Maybe I loved them. Maybe I loved the things I hated. No. I definitely hated them. Things I definitely hated.
We're going to talk about the things we loved and things we hated about Richard's things. Mark, what did you love?
I mean, where do I start? People make terrible choices.
I don't know.
I loved when Peter cries at the prospect of getting down with Kate.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I loved that. Yeah. Kate...
Oh, Peter!
Yeah. He just sobs. Oh, he sobs, yeah.
I loved that Kate barely smiles, and when she does, she looks terrifying.
Yeah.
I loved the miserable in-laws and how, like, they don't talk to each other and they're just miserable in their own lives. I loved the hugs. I loved people watching people light cigarettes but not smoke them. I loved the constant tea, then coffee, then coffee, then tea, then tea, then coffee. I loved that Kate worked at a place called Giddy and Giddy. Do you know how hard it is to find a business partner with the exact same last name?
Unbelievable. Well, that's brothers, I have to think. Yeah, you know?
I mean, maybe, but...
Cousins?
Can't imagine a scenario where that would come up anyway.
But wouldn't Giddy Bros? Giddy Brothers? Giddy and Giddy says, I mean, wow, what are the odds?
Two different Giddies.
You know, I love that Kate didn't know how to drive a car. I loved that she had a strange relationship with her cousin? ?
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much to love in this movie. I could go on, but I'll give Erica a chance because I'm sure she's got even more to say.
Wow. Thanks, Mark. Holy shit. Did not think you were going to come off Mark's Miserable Marvelous May that hard, but... I can see now. I can see that was a really tough month for you.
I don't know. I feel like I've been baptized in the warm waters of June gloom, and I'm feeling
good. Oh, my goodness. You were flying high on Richard's things, dog.
Wow.
Holy moly.
It really did not take much. Coming. It did not take much at all for you to...
First 10 minutes, Mark's hooked? No, first 30 seconds.
I would have been locked in. I would have been happy with Richard's thing, but we got plural, so.
Woo. Two women were.
Shit, nothing hotter than a mediocre-looking man's wiener after he reads some poetry,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
Gosh,
totally.
Golly. Wow. Golly.
Story of my life.
Golly. Oh, man. Oh, things I loved. Goodness. Goodness gracious. I loved that the nurse fought back on putting clothes on Richard when he was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that. I know I already mentioned it, but I just, that tickled me to no end. Like, no, we will not put clothes on him. It's easier if he's nude. Like, I just found that fucking hilarious for some reason. I don't know. I just found that so funny. Other things that I loved, we get introduced to Richard's boat, immediately sell it. Yeah. See ya. Mm-hmm. Oh, this Bye. Was his boat? Well, you know yeah. what? Mm-hmm. Fuck his boat. Junk this it. Was our last ride. Yep. Bon Voyage Argo, was it called, I think?
Doesn't matter. Argo. I've already forgot about it. It's gone.
Who cares?
Somebody else's boat.
It's already for sale.
They can call it whatever they want.
So what? Doesn't matter. That might have been it. Just the nudity and the boat sail. This one really... Damn it, Richard Slings, it snuck up on me. It locked me in. I watched it all in one sitting, which is rare for me in June gloom. But it really... It hooks you. And at least for me, I spent the entire movie going, oh, all right. Oh, no. Okay, all right. And then in the end going, oh. So I give it 2 whoop all rights and then 1 aw for those who are keeping score.
On that, on Erica's scale. I also had to, I loved Richard's business partner, who is played by Tim Pigott-Smith, one of
Peter.
The most British names in all of Britain. And like how he like was into Kate, but like he was like, oh, I don't want to like hit on Kate. So let me wait 2 days. For Richard to be dead.
Yeah, my goodness.
And then I'll like, and then I'll move in. But like, I gotta give it a courtesy 48 hours.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to go so quickly into it. But he was so sweet, and then he cried because he was like, "Oh my gosh." Anyway,
and just know that when he cried, she was like, like any.
Yeah, she was
like
the lady boner just completely dropped.
Yeah, like, I really want out of this hug. Yeah, really don't want to be.
She
in
was
this
like,
hug.
"Oh, a kiss on the cheek. That'll solidify my disinterest." Got it. Peck on the cheek.
Yeah, it was not the most passionate of kisses that they shared.
Would have been better if it was on the shoulder. Just a little one on the shoulder.
It
did.
It felt like when they gave that kiss, it was so there's so little passion that she was like, "Could you just like? I don't want anyone coming in and seeing us like." Smooch this weekly. Yeah, but
she might as well have just said out loud, "You're crying." That nothing would have been more humiliating to him.
All right, let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what did you hate?
I hated the plot twist, and I'm using that phrase loosely. But the plot twist after JoJo moves into Kate's house, Kate starts to get really possessive. And smothering of Kate and not trusting her when she goes out, even though she says, "You can do whatever you want." This is where this could have taken a dangerous affection turn, but they don't. She's controlling in the worst way, like just annoying and kind of a bitch about it, but not really doing anything egregious. And you're like, yeah, I would want to get out of this too. I'd be like, things have gotten really weird. You're acting weird around me. And I guess that's more true to life than movies often or always portray it. But it seemed unnecessary, although I guess they had to have a reason to break up at some point. But
they never get along, though. They also never get
they
along.
They never really get along. But towards the end, they're really not getting along. And she's being possessive, but they don't really explain why. And she's not jealous. I mean, she screws Peter, but then she's jealous of Kate going out. And
which he said to do anyway. Really, I don't know. It's
it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that too. I didn't like any of that, and mainly it's because this may be controversial, but I did not like Liv Ullmann in this very much at all. I mean, considering everything that she went through, her lack of emoting was very impressive. But it would have been nice to get some of that in there also, like throw some in there just on occasion. It would have thrown me off. She was like, what if I did this part in one note? And it was like, well, I don't know, mix it up. Throw in a couple other ones just every so often just to kind of mix it up. But she didn't.
But to play old woman advocate, don't you feel like if that was her choice, that just reinforced why he cheated?
No, I mean,
she was
yeah.
just kind of like yeah. unemotional.
But to like ride the whole movie and then find out like, yeah, she just is like a real milquetoast kind of lady who didn't really have any sort of opinions on anything. And that's why he cheated is like, okay, that's a long way to go for that answer. But and again, I don't know if this yeah. is entirely mm-hmm. Ullman's fault or that's just the script or that's the direction or what. But it just felt there's moments like even just. My God, just the fact that you lose your husband, there's got to be some moments here and there. Even just the way she interacts with her son, something. She's always just like one note. And yeah, Erica, you may be right. That just is like how she was. That's why he was like, what are the Youngs up to?
Mm-hmm. Do the Youngs emote? Well, yeah. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah,
do,
yeah. Are they emote? And it turns out they do, but they're very erratic about it. And then you're like, ugh, I don't know. That's not funny
yeah.
either. I don't know. Anyway. I'm not alone in this because the writer, Raphael, he said to commentary about Ullman's performance, he said, quote, she is the only actress I've ever worked with who did not do her best for the piece. She may not have meant to sabotage
Ooh.
It, but in my opinion, she did not honor her professional obligation to do her best.
Wow. Oh, shit.
That's quite the indictment.
Yeah, oh, but I mean, I damn. Have to say, I kind of thought, I don't know, I feel like she wasn't working with Bergman. She wasn't, you know, maybe this isn't... She'd worked with somebody she worked with before, but I don't know. I just don't think, like, she was really challenging herself. This role, even if she was that kind of woman you're talking about, I still felt like there could have been some levels that she could have hit that she just doesn't. She just goes nowhere with it. And even, again, just the fact that she's into this woman, is she truly into her? Is it just something that's happened? I don't... It's just all so... surfacely nothing. As Mark said, she didn't really change her expression very much. I didn't see it change hardly mm-hmm. at all. It just mm-hmm. Yeah, was not my favorite. Anyway, Erica, what did you hate?
I hated kind of the little traps. I thought it was going to be a lot more. I thought it was going to be a lot sexier. I was like, ooh, oh, yeah. here we go. For sure. Okay, new world. Oh, nope. Okay, no. So it felt like a little bit of a bait and switch, but this is June Gloom. So it started with a little glimmer and ended with a real dark cloud, so it felt very appropriate. So
yeah,
that was what I hated. I think technically what I hated was I felt like the lighting was so weird.
It was so bad. It was so bad. In her apartment, they literally, I can tell, they have one light.
Yes. And it felt like someone was like shining it right on them.
Yes.
Like,
it looked very, very, very bad. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was rough.
The lighting did nothing to help the scenes. And I feel like it's unfortunate because, and bear with me, I don't know what I'm talking about at all here. But, you know, I think you can have an atmospheric touch with the lighting and have it either be, you know, kind of sexy or kind of scary. And then this just felt like, hey guys, one light works in here. I don't know. I'm just going to point it right at their faces. Or like a lot of times, like I felt like it was very harshly lit from above. So that also wasn't flattering either. So I did hate that from a technical perspective. The lighting was just,
it felt terrible. Like they actually shot in an actual like apartment for yep. Josie's yeah. apartment, and it was like, mm-hmm. why not just build a set so you can actually have the lights in there, you can actually light it the way you want. I would mm-hmm. imagine they may have had more than one light, but they use one light because it's like to put two or three lights in that tiny of a space with a crew and also these two actors, mm-hmm. it's going to be an inferno in there. And yeah. so they went with one light, yeah. just trying to bounce one light, you know, off whatever wall they needed to give it some sort of lighting. But it just looked terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you get all that. You get all that lighting, and then throw a couple omelets in there, and poof.
Ooh,
rough.
I mean,
God.
Everyone's Ooh. Bellies are full, but they are not
the
loving
smell.
The smell.
You can see it. You can see the smell. Mm-hmm. It's that mm-hmm. strong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. You're like, what is it? My mm-hmm. glass is dirty. Oh God. Oh yeah. Oh oh. Oh, the smell.
The smell.
The smell.
Let's go to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
Oh, I mean, there's really no question. It's when Chancellor Palpatine tries to rob Kate's house.
I mean, I think we're all agreed. It's mine, too.
Yes!
It's mine, too.
The burglar! What is he doing in there?
What is he doing?
What he's is trying he... to steal a suitcase?
He's the yeah. most you courteous goof. Burglar of all of time, number one.
Do you? I don't know. In England, do you normally wear slacks and a sport coat when you go burgling?
Nobody will suspect. Nobody will suspect. I thought wow. they did it yeah, like in a like a hat and suspenders, but I, you know, I only that's Clockwork Orange maybe having an influence. I don't know.
He needed just a twisty mustache to signify yeah. he was
like
no good.
The kindest guy. And again, England, where you could just like chat it out. Like, oh, are you robbing me right now? I am. Okay, well, you're a jerk for doing that. I don't like you very much. It was so, the civility. Oh my gosh. Unbelievable. That's my favorite scene. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I thought it was like a, ooh, is Richard, you know, did he, are we going to like, did someone hire a detective? Nope. Just a burglar. Just a good old fashioned burglary.
Yep. And it was, as Mark said, it was Ian McDiarmid who would go on to play the Emperor in the Star Wars films who played the burglar.
Mm.
Great casting. My favorite scene. Erica, did you have a favorite scene outside of that? Because I know you mentioned earlier that you love the burglar scene, so.
My favorite scene also was the burglary. I thought it was so random and hilarious, and I don't know. I guess I'm not well-read enough to understand what I was supposed to take away from that. Because she so listlessly defends her home of like, mm-hmm. get out. Put down the suitcase. You know what? Keep the suitcase. You know what? I'm going to beat you with this tennis racket. It's so mid. It's yeah, such a mid for sure. mm-hmm. disruption of the burglary. I think that's why I loved it. And I know we mentioned this earlier, but I love when she dumps JoJo. And she's like, okay, you know what? This isn't working out. All right, get out. Over. Get out. We're done. Get out right here on the side of the road. Yeah. Love that. Just get out, figure it out. Goodbye. See you later.
Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Maybe one day she'll come back.
Thanks for the hugs.
And then she starts thinking about her, like, maybe one day she'll find me and say that she still loves me or doesn't, or I still want to kill her. Who knows? It's like,
yeah.
All right. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
All right. Let's go to final questions. Our final questions for Richard's things. In the UK, is healthcare just nurses trying to aggressively convince you to get better?
Yeah.
It seems so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If they're encouraging, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The best medicine comes from your heart.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And
so yeah. You got to believe it.
I think they also need to know how bad you want it. Do you want to be back mm-hmm. alive? Or are you mm-hmm. like, oh, shit, my wife is here.
Yep. Get better or don't. We need the bed. So it's up to yeah. you, really. It's up to you yeah. whether you want to get better.
Either way, we're not putting clothes on you. Not yeah. worth the time.
Well, yeah, that's a UK staple. You got to be yeah. nude. Got to be.
Got to be.
For a guy who was apparently so charismatic, why was Richard's funeral so sparsely attended?
Mm.
Seriously.
Where were his other lovers if he was so hot to yeah. trot?
They didn't even bother to send some flowers, you know?
Yeah.
The reception afterwards was real subdued, and it seemed like their food offerings, like the omelets, wasn't great. Mm. They had a lot of leftovers, and I can understand why. Mm. Also, mm-hmm. was it me, or was there a surprisingly large mound of dirt above where he was buried? Did they only bury him like a foot under, and then mm-hmm. figured, well, we'll just pack the dirt on top? It'll be
They're
fine.
They're putting him way like down there.
Castle.
That was his request.
Yeah, but if it was way down there, there'd be a lot of dirt in the hole.
They needed to put other people on top of him. They were going to stack him with some other people, save space.
Right.
Some of his lady friends.
Yeah. His final wishes. Would this movie have been better if Kate had just killed Josie at some point?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. I was just sort of like, is everybody going to think what I think? Okay, cool.
Was that a true or false? That's a true.
Yeah, it's a true. Okay. When Kate is burying Richard's pajamas under a pile of leaves, whose dog is that?
Right?
You're right.
Gosh. Some people... I was waiting for somebody's walk-up to be like, I'm sorry, he's friendly. He's friendly.
They're like holding the leash in their hands.
He's friendly.
Yeah.
They're
I'm trying to hide my dead husband's PJ.
He loves people. Yeah. Yeah, and why didn't they come up and say, wait, what are you burying under that pile of brush? Mm-hmm. What is that?
And just throw things in the garbage. What are you doing?
Like a normal person.
What are you doing?
Or at least have a nice funeral pyre in the backyard of your house and burn it all.
Burn it up. Mm-hmm. Burn it up. Everyone would know. Everyone's like,
normal
oh,
fucking person.
She just lost her husband, so she's burning his stuff. We've all been there. So when we talk about that scene where Josie's left the side of the road, but what does she do now? She doesn't have a job. She was going to go travel. She's got, what does she do now? She's just dumped on the side of the road.
I don't know. Goes back and finds train guy that they sat next to.
Right.
I don't know.
That train guy.
She just goes to the next mediocre,
she is not short on suitors.
Middle-aged dong.
Yeah.
She's in
average
She's
looking middle aged dongs. There's plenty of them around.
Oh my God, that's my sweet spot. That is my sweet spot. that's where I live. Honestly, that's where I live. Let's get into some research. This was shot for US, anyway, $2.5 million US.
Wow.
Over 6 weeks.
Holy moly.
Less than that in pounds. The pounds were very strong against the dollar at that point in time. It was actually made for British commercial television, if you can believe it. The English film industry was just not really happening much. But it was made to be shown on television in England, and then they were going to distribute it in other countries. That's why they made the movie. According to the writer, Raphael, Oldman was not a fan of Redmond by the end of the shoot, and that she also didn't get along with director Harvey as well, with Harvey telling her to F off near the end of the shoot. Then he continues, he said, quote, she paid him out by leaving without a goodbye. He and everyone else put the blame on Liv's makeup man and hairdresser, Ray, whom she had insisted on bringing over from New York. Ray had made trouble throughout, but the real trouble was Liv herself. She is a star who lives in a hazed halo. She seems irredeemably morose.
Huh. So she wasn't acting at all. She was just
super bummed.
Just repeating the line.
That was just her vibes.
This is how I do it.
Getting through it. Making sure her hair looked good. With her guy. It does open at the Venice Film Festival in August 1980. And Liv Ullmann wins. She wins an award. She wins the Passanetti Award for Best Actress, which is delivered by the Italian Film Journalists Union. So apparently people really dug her performance. Maybe they're just stoked she was there. But anyway, she wins an award from it. And I have to assume, I don't know, but I have to assume this is where New World picks up. The movie after Venice wins an award. They're like, well, let's check that one out. I don't know. And again, assume Corman was like, oh, it's a movie about a wife who loses her husband and then she gets it on with another woman. We'll take it. I mean, I just have to think that that's like as quickly as the negotiation was for him.
Well, I was going to ask too, you said was Autumn Sonata, did that come out before this?
Because
I'm wondering if it did, then
I think Autumn Sonata is 1979, so yes, Autumn Sonata was before this.
So, you know, I could also see New World being like, okay, we've got the actress from Autumn Sonata, and that did really well, and this is sort of another morose tale, so let's see if we can have lightning strike
I'm
twice.
Sure having Ullman in the movie I'm sure was a bonus to him as well. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's actually Autumn Sonata is 1978. This is 1980, but 1980 is only because it plays at the Venice Film Festival in 1980. It doesn't come out actually anywhere else until 1981. So it's been a few years since that New World has put out Autumn Sonata, but still I'm sure Ullman was the you know, the name actor that gave it some attention. In fact, New World gave Harvey a lot of creative control. And that's what he said he really liked about it. In fact, he says that New World Pictures gave him carte blanche to make any changes he desired for the American release. But apparently, I guess, I have to think, he did not change out that monologue at the very tail end. It does then get released in Los Angeles on July 10th, 1981. And later on that year, here's a quote from an ad that I found of the movie from The Village Voice. The critic Andrew Sarnes, never mind who the critic was, from The Village Voice, this review reads like this. I got to get you guys' opinion on it. Okay. He says, as good as Raiders of the Lost Ark and Superman 2 may be, I find myself increasingly attached to movies with a highly articulated sense of grown-up sensuality. Consequently, I am hopelessly hooked on the scintillating blend of sensuality and sensibility expressed through the intense rapport of Liv Ullmann and Amanda Redman. Oh, those lips and oh, those eyes. Ullmann has never acted so eloquently and emotionally in English. Magic is worth celebrating.
He loves a good hug. He loves
a good hug.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
He's telling his boys about some hugs he got in high school. Oh my God, they were so intense. Mm. And again, it does
open. But don't tell mom. Don't tell mom.
Yeah. Give me my hugs. And of course, it does open in the UK on ITV on August 16th, 1981. I believe in a 9:30 time slot on a Sunday night. Just, there's Richard's things.
Richard's thing.
You guys bummed out enough? Ready to start the week over?
Oh, man.
And that is it. That is Richard's things. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed the start to June Gloom 2, Down to Frown. Oh my gosh. Yes, if you like this episode, you want to hear our other June Gloom episodes, you go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, interviews, articles as well. And you can get a t-shirt there. That's where you can order t-shirts. We've got so many designs. Buy a t-shirt. It helps support the show. Or buy a mug or whatever you want to buy there. Buy some merch. Helps us out. And we hope you enjoy this episode. We'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, please select the link in the description